The Bumblecast is for entertainment purposes only. The hosts' comments and opinions, and those of their guests, are wholly their own and do not represent that of any other entity. Content is provided as is, with no guarantees of accuracy or timeliness.
Welcome to a special edition of the Bumblecast. I'm your host, Ian Flynn, the Bumble King, and joining me as always is my Bumble co-host, Kyle, JCRB Krause.
Hey, we're here, but we also have another person who's here. Hello.
That's what makes it other special. Person. Please welcome back our good friend, Kaizen Amin.
Hello, hello. Pleasure to be back. How are you two gentlemen doing?
Doing okay. Welcome. How about you?
Welcome back.
Yeah, doing good. This year has been a... has been fun seeing you guys kind of adapt to the changes to the show, and I've still just been enjoying it all the same. It's been fun.
As long as you're entertained, we're doing our jobs.
Yes.
Indeed. I just got my physical copy of Dragoon came in a few days ago, so I'm excited to crack into that.
What a handsome observation. Seriously, though, I do hope you enjoy.
Yeah, I do. I loved the little excerpt that it had in a Sparkflame. I love so many of the stories that were in Sparkflame. I can't. I just talked to Danny 2 months ago and got some cool insight into Endless Fantasia. Very excited for that one too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we had a good time talking to him about that too. So yeah, what's up with you, Kai?
I've been good. It's just. I don't know, like in terms of like my stuff that I've been doing, like on the YouTube side, there's a lot of uncertainty of what's going to be happening in the next few months. But that I kind of like that. We've had so many years where we have a few kind of ballpark ideas of where things will be going, but there's a lot of surprise potential that's coming up soon. So I think that's exciting.
Ooh, ominous.
Nice.
I mean, exciting. Yeah. Exciting. Yes. And for the folks who have not checked the Bumblecast master list and do not know that you've been on the show before, please introduce yourself, folks. Kyle, please edit out that stroke. Pick up in 3, 2, 1.
I make no guarantees.
Whatever it makes for better content. Tell the folks at home who you are, what you do, and what this YouTube thing is you're talking about.
Well, my name is Kai. I go by Kaizen Amin. You can find my stuff and the work that I do on YouTube and Blue Sky. And I just do whatever I find fun and topical, revolving Sonic mostly, but I'm going to try to open that up to a few other things in the new year. But I had a bunch of questions, a few from a Bumblecast mini that was lost in the Great Purge, so that'll be fun to kind of catch up and update. But yeah, nothing specific in this one, just wanted to chat about things.
Nice chill way to end the year, because goodness knows we need that. Yeah. This year.
All right, well, to kick things off, for you, Ian, how does it feel to finally get Dragoon out into the world, and how's the reception been?
For me, it is relieving and vindicating and terrifying. Adam and I worked a long time on getting this done and getting it out there. And now it is. And there is that satisfaction of, after 10 years of chipping away at this, we finally have something to show for it. But we've had stuff in the past, but this is like the solid direction. But now it's, you know, out there to be read and reviewed and scrutinized and whatnot. And that's always terrifying. Part of the project was, you know, for me. I don't have to answer to anybody. I don't have to appease anybody. There's no metrics to meet. This is mine. Sink or swim. Mm-hmm. If nobody buys it, that's fine. I made it. It's out there. I don't have to worry about anybody else's expectations. This is for me. But that only goes so far, because there are already fans of certain characters and certain things and lots of expectations and thoughts and explorations. And it's like, this is only book one. You have no idea where this is going. Oh, I don't want to disappoint you people. Which shouldn't matter, because this is mine. This is 100%, you know, for my own mental safety and health. And I still want to please people with it. It's a conundrum, one of my own making, which is pretty much how most of my life goes, come to think of it. But reception has been phenomenal. It's not a big launch. It's basically through my social media channels and Bumblecast, which is a narrow band. It is more or less self-published, so there is no major support that way either. And we've already moved over 300 units in the first month.
Oh, love that.
That was what I thought the lifetime sales might be.
Holy crap. Wow. Okay.
And there's still at least daily purchases, either physical or digital. So we've already blown all my expectations out of the water. And now I'm greedy because I wanted at least 1% of my followers to pick up the book, and we have achieved that. So now I want 5% of my followers to pick up the book.
Yep.
Here's hoping, man. That's amazing. I didn't know this.
Yeah. I feel conceited crowing about that. It's like, look at me, look at what we've accomplished, but it is a success. I am happy and proud that, you know, with such a small soapbox to preach from, so many folks came to the project and have been passionate about it too. Like, the responses in the Bumblecast Discord and just generally online have been very positive. Mm-hmm. And I've had some incredibly thoughtful feedback on it. Special shout out to Double L, because some of the write-ups he's done, even if he's not like figured out exactly where I'm going, it shows that he's picking up the nuance there and seeing the subtext and looking for the foreshadowing, and reading comprehension is my drug of choice. For someone to go through the book and go, I think I see where you're going with this. Whether you're right or wrong, it shows engagement. It shows thoughtfulness and just right into the veins. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm excited to dive into it.
It's been a very good experience. Eager to get the ball rolling on book two. I've got a visual lore companion book in the works.
Ooh.
And just because of the sheer excitement in the Bumblecast Discord server, I whipped up a very rough tabletop RPG rule set. And I was like, I should go back and tinker with that, because, you know, I need to do more things on top of everything else that I'm doing. But no, it's in a word, it's been great.
Hell yeah. Love that. Yeah. I have one more week of work and then I'm off for the rest of the year. And I've just been compiling a bunch of comics and stuff that I've been ready to get into. I've actually been hunting down a lot of the old Archie stuff. Like, I found a almost like brand new copy of the first Sonic Boom volume that you did back in the day.
Oh, wow.
So I'm excited to take a stab at that. But yeah, no, I am. I'm very much looking forward to Dragoon. I saw the video that what's my man's name? Pumpkin Swift did on it. Very nice review.
Again, I was not expecting any video essays about it, and you know, he was on point with most of it. And the one thing in that video in particular that resonated with me was him saying that it's a very hard book to pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly the trouble I ran into the years I was trying to find a publisher for it. It's like, how do you pitch this book? Because it is such a, it's the concept rather than the story, I guess.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And here I am failing to pitch the book again to the folks who are already invested in it. And it's like, yes, thank you. I feel vindicated. I thought I was just failing on my own part, but no, it is a hard premise to pitch. But once you're into it, once you see it, you're like, ah, yes, this is brilliant. It should be fully funded by some mega corporation, so Ian can do his own media empire. Hint, hint. If anybody's listening.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I am ready. I'm ready. Let's do it. Rise up, Dragoon Nation.
Dragooner Nation is too damn good.
Yeah, come on, Dragooners. Let's get in. Get in, Dragooners. We're getting this thing off the ground.
Let's see. Next question. So, since the awards for this event just happened, how are we feeling about the Blue Bomber returning with Mega Man Duel Overdrive?
Neat.
I am fascinated that they're doing a game. I didn't think they did Mega Man games anymore.
Yeah, they remembered they have a mascot. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, they have a few. They have that one. Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see what happens. I don't know.
I did like the reveal trailer with the various doors going 1 to 11 and then what should be 12 is a countdown clock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hate the announcement that it's coming out in 2027. I hate these long-term announcements.
Long time.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's a long time. But it's neat.
It is. I understand the fear of letting an IP languish too long without any movement in it, especially in this day and age where people's attention spans are brief. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it would be a lower risk to say that a definitive title is in development and put that out as like a paragraph in 2026. Because now that you have a fully dedicated trailer with gameplay announced at the Game Awards with a hard date of 2027, the expectation is there. So if something happens to the project, the backlash is going to be more severe than, oh, remember that paragraph that was put out on Kotaku or something last year? Yep. No? Oh, well.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like in general, I prefer it when they, if you just announce it too early, like then if it has delayed, I mean, we're seeing that with Grand Theft Auto 6, like got delayed to summer of 2026. Now it's November 19th, 2026. And I think they should really just normalize. It's like announce it once it's in like a 6 month window of being ready to come out. Cause then the hype cycle is short. You don't have to spend as much money on marketing and it's in the mindset of people for a short amount of time. And then they're like, oh, I get to play this soon. It's not like, oh, I have to wait eons for it to inevitably exist.
And I know too, that, you know, when you're coming up to launch, there is so much media vying for your attention that it is a struggle to be seen at all.
Yeah.
So you get in the trenches early on. So there's always that little bit of a reminder. Oh yeah. Wasn't there a thing 3 months ago? Oh, here's the reminder that it's coming and so on and so forth. But a whole year, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, marketing aside, it's nice to see the little blue boy back. He looks good. Hearing Blues do the whistle in the background brings expectation.
Yes.
Hope is rekindled that we might see a game version of Quake Woman, maybe. Like the fireworks were going off in that circus stage and I'm like, okay, are these like an Easter egg? Are all the robot masters colored like these fireworks? What straws can I grasp at?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That would be really cool, but I don't know. Fingers crossed though. I would love to see that. Like, let's bring some comic stuff in. Let's see what happens.
Yes. I probably should also add that's not a hashtag knowing smile. I am not attached to the game in any way. I have no idea what's going on with it. I am looking at this purely from a fan perspective.
Wow, we haven't had to do that in a while.
Capcom, get this man involved. What are you doing?
Including one of those disclaimers in the show. I haven't had to really do that in a little bit so much. But still.
I feel like it's also warranted since Udon is putting out the Mega Man Adventures collections.
Yeah.
So that material is going to be fresh in the minds of folks again, and will probably be running into 2027. So
yep.
If I were a fan on the internet looking at this, I would see dots to connect. I have been there. I have done that. I'm telling you, there are no dots to connect. There are dots, yes, but they don't connect to anything.
I connected the dots. You didn't connect. Crap. I connected them.
Just the most haphazard image. Like, it's not even like a... I connected the dots, but it's not any constellation. It's just a haphazard, like, chicken scratch. We do what we can when we feed our delusions of what we want to see and dream of.
Speaking of which, Half-Life fans, it's time to move on, okay?
I think most of them are in on the joke. I think at this point it is a joke. Like,
I hope so. I've seen some salty stuff legit salty.
They know that Valve wasn't going to announce Half-Life 3 at the Game Awards. Like, there's no freaking way.
I think some of them
on their own timetable.
it's not going to happen. Look, I was, it was like if the third time they tricked me with the Saxton Hale, you know, three and lambda symbol thing. And I was like, oh, clearly this means something. It was nothing. And I was like, okay, I've learned my lesson now. It's not happening. There will be no Half-Life Episode 3. There will not be a Half-Life 3. It's not going to happen. It is time that we move on. Bury the dead.
It happened.
Love the memory.
It happened. It's called Half-Life Alyx.
Yeah, I count it as 2.5.
Yeah. I mean, technically, yes, but I think that's the closest you're going to get.
Yeah, what, Half-Life 2, Episode 3, VR, like hyphen VR. Oh, God. That's the designation of Alyx.
Not just VR, no.
Yeah, no, I was, it was fun doing all of the, all of the predictions of what would happen at the Game Awards, and so many bingo cards of what people wanted was just thrown into trash cans. Like, so just everything that everyone wanted. No, specifically, like, there was one that I was doing for Fidel's community, and I specifically threw in, like, you know what, screw it, like Valve announcement something, like just because I wanted to feed the delusions of those who got their hopes up.
Nope.
Like, I have my hopes. I have my hopes of what I think Valve is cooking up or whatever they're working on. But I mean, I'm genuinely most excited for all of the hardware slate stuff they got coming in 2026.
Mm-hmm. That'll be interesting. It's going to be expensive, but
oh yeah.
Yeah, that's the hesitation on my part. It's like, how much is this going to be? Because Switch 2 is already out of my price range.
Oh yeah, it's going to be more than that. It's a decently powerful PC for what it is, so it's going to be pricey, but, you know, it's a good way to get into the ecosystem, and if you're already in the Valve ecosystem and just want a console, it should be.
I'm divided.
A good way to get into it, but
I'm divided on how they should market it, though, because on the one hand, I've seen folks saying they should call it the GameCube.
Yes.
Which I adore.
Alternatively, I've been talking about that that came up back in the first round of Steam Machines, I think. People were saying GameCube. That's just a meme brought back.
Well, then how about this one? You paid at Origin, you sell it as the orange box.
Ooh, there could be a version of it called the orange box. That'd be pretty good.
Yeah, you can change the faceplates on the front. I'd buy an orange box variant. I've also seen that I think Dbrand has already done one that turns it into like the cubes from Portal. Like it has like the full fitted there, and I'm like, oh yeah, I would buy that immediately.
That's pretty cool. There are orange.
If it comes preloaded with Team Fortress 3 and Half-Life 3, just for irony's sake, I might take out a mortgage to get it. I don't know.
Yes.
Team Fortress 3, I don't even know what you'd do with that.
Farm hats.
Oh, okay.
Hell yeah.
There's no competitive play. It's just you farm hats.
Okay, sounds fine.
We get like the resurgence of the CS2 like skin for like guns and knives that they have with the economy of Counter-Strike, but that is just for hats for Team Fortress 3. No other objects, just simply hats. Mm-hmm.
They have multiplayer games, but it mostly just looks like prop hunt, except everyone's the prop. They are hats.
Yeah, I'm down for that. I'm definitely down for that.
Good.
Let's see. That's actually one of my later questions was talking about Valve stuff, so I gotta like rearrange how I was gonna ask some of these. Since we were on the topic of Mega Man then. What was it like to get back to Mega Man Comics for Udon and specifically for the world of Mega Man Zero?
That was odd but fun, because I never thought I'd get back to that style of Mega Man, the old Archie series. I hope sprung eternal,
right?
But that was always pie in the sky. This will never happen, but wouldn't it be neat if it did? And then it happened. And granted, it's just little small stories, but having an excuse to go back and reread that stuff, to refamiliarize myself with the old continuity, to see, you know, where would these little stories fit? What can they do to celebrate what came before and add something that would be a little nostalgic and fun and new at the same time? That was neat. That was nice to go back to. Also, hindsight's 2020. I look back at a lot of that old Mega Man stuff and it's like, good God, they're wordy. Shut up. Let the artists do their job.
Yeah, well.
I know why they were like that at the time, but if we were ever to be able to pick up and carry the torch, I think I'd like to go a little less wordy.
At least it's not Silver Age wordiness.
As for Zero, that was of the project. The project itself is an overview of the franchise. And of all the segments, I was happy that they asked me to do Zero specifically, because that's the one with the tightest narrative, and because it presents a wonderful little pocket to tell a story that could fit in that continuity, but wouldn't affect anything if it doesn't. Specifically, the gap between 01 and 02. And it's like, perfect. I know exactly where to place this. I know what to showcase. I know what to plant in there that will still be a continuing story, but plant seeds for what comes for two and beyond, for folks to go, I see where it's going. It's the stepping stone. I get it. I recognize that reference. Just, it was nice. If it was classic, I would have desperately wanted to do something that was in the old Archie continuity. And that's not what they wanted at the time, mm-hmm. which makes sense. X is so broad. Where to even begin? I'm not as familiar with ZX and Advent and Legends. I'm not as familiar with, but my friend David Oxford, who was the co-writer for the Robot Master and Maverick Hunter Field Guide books, which are excellent resources, he adores Legends, and he got in on that. So I was very happy for him there. So yeah, Zero, very happy I got that opportunity, because that just, I knew exactly what to do with it the minute they said, hey, you want to do it? It's like, yep. I have a vision. Let's go.
Cool. Yeah, it was fun. It was just cool that it was cool to see them, Mega Man Comics, not just come back, but for them to hit up like a moment for every iteration of Mega Man. So whatever your favorite was, you got what you wanted. But also, if you love all of them, then you're like, oh my God, this is Christmas. This is what I've always dreamed of.
The only black mark on that book is I misnamed two of the Guardians. It was a slip of the mind. That's all there is to it. But it was also the first draft of the script. I figured I'd be going back and making notes. That script was taken immediately and went to art. I didn't get a second pass at it. The editor went through and didn't catch any of the names either. Capcom went over the script and didn't flag any of the names. So,
oof.
Yes, it lies at my feet. I made the initial mistake. I own that. But I don't own it entirely because, come on, Capcom, this is your job to make sure I do this right.
Oof.
Point it out. So if it ever gets a reprint, I'm hoping we can fix it. But, and it's a dumb error. It is. No defending it. But come on, Capcom, help me out here.
Oh man, see, and I was giving you the benefit of the doubt, like, yeah, maybe it was some some issue along the way. Like, I don't know, somebody thought it was wrong the way you spelled it, and then they fixed it, quote-unquote fixed it.
No, it was me going off of memory. It's like, oh yeah, it's this, I'll go back and I'll make a clean a sharper pass on it when I do revisions. No revisions.
I should have
not get my second pass.
I should have known, because I mean, like, you know, you're a writer, but you're not historically your spelling is a little rough.
Oh yeah. Proofreading is my kryptonite. I cannot proofread to save my life.
I've known you long enough to say that, like, yay, yeah, you're right, good, but your spelling's a little iffy sometimes.
I write good, I don't write well.
Oh no, not the Ian spelling bee when.
Okay, first answer.
Lenny.
You. Am I missing interest?
Straub's is delightful.
Straub's being sassy, get out of town.
It's true. Oh boy.
What is the greatest joy both of you get in what you do?
Greatest singular?
However you want to answer.
That's hard to narrow down. To distill it to one thing, it would be the enrichment of other people. Whether that's the kid who finally is able to catch up with their reading comprehension because something I've written just clicks with them, or the story that helps somebody get through a rough patch of their life, they find an analog there and it gives them comfort, or folks who just are satisfied, they enjoy the story and that's enough. You know, something I have created has brought some good into the world, and that's the peak for me.
I like making stuff and, you know, putting it out there and having people enjoy it. That's a good feeling. So, you know, doing like the podcasts and stuff like that is fun for me. You know, we get to have fun every week with each other, just talking, just shooting the breeze, answering people's questions, having fun. That's a very fun and fulfilling thing, you know, to hang out with my buddy and talk to him for a while every week. So that's good. And then we get to put it out there and people like to listen to it for some reason. I don't know why exactly, but they do. And they stick around with us. And that's also very fulfilling and satisfying, too. So, yeah,
for sure.
Another layer of that. My dad was a radio host when I was little, and he and his co-host honestly had a rapport very much like me and Kyle. So I grew up listening to that kind of banter and was entertained by it. And here I am getting to do that for 10 years now. It's kind of fun to go back and relive what was so fun in my childhood and actually do it for realsies.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up listening to radio, too. I always was, like, very interested in radio stuff and doing that sort of thing. Less so nowadays for traditional terrestrial radio, because it's all just fluff and filler for the most part. They don't really have so much... the hosts aren't really a big thing anymore, it seems like. But, I was definitely, like, a big radio person, and I wanted to have like a radio show, and that's why I started my other show, my video game music show, and then became doing that forever for over 20 years. And then doing the Bumblecast with Ian, and that was like, all right, I Ian's like, you want to do a podcast together? I'm like, yes. And here we are still doing it over 10 years later. So
I still remember being nervous about broaching that subject. It's like, oh man, it's Kyle. He's got the highly successful KNGI.org. I mean, he's a mover and a shaker in the OCR remix field.
I guess.
He's like a minor online celebrity. Is he even going to want to give me the time of day? And he's here on vacation. I shouldn't talk business. Mr. Krause, sir, would you like to do a thing? Yeah. Okay, cool.
Of course. Like... There's no reason why I would have said no. That would have been stupid on my part. Just like,
I don't know.
Very dumb. Very dumb for me to say no. Very dumb. Luckily, I said yes, and we're here. So
yeah,
that's good. That's good.
Yeah. No, I've Bumblecast has been a good part of my routine over the past few years. Because I've really started listening and. Like end of 2022, and I've like been here since, and like kind of went back through the archives, like catching up on past years and past questions and stuff. And KNGI, kind of the same thing, where it's just been like in the background to something that I enjoy just kind of listen to like during my work days. And then all of the shows that are on KNGI too, like that's how I found a Straub stuff, and I've been a huge fan of Being the Barry and all the stuff that they've been doing over there. Like it just all kind of revolves, like the joy of what you do kind of revolves and spreads to everyone else. And then like I guess personally, for like the joy that I get in what I do, it's like YouTube for me is my therapy. Like it's been the best creative outlet for me, is just being like, no matter what's going on in my life, I have this consistent thing that is mine that I can do, that I can kind of have my own conversations and things that I want to discuss with my community and stuff like that. And then, like, I got my first, like, super chat on a video this year. Like, someone went out of their way to not just say that, oh, you did a good video, I'm going to give you, like, a little bit of little tip on the side too, because you did a good job. And I'm like, and then I get DMs from people in my community saying that, like, I'm their favorite person whenever, like, I show up in their feed. And I'm just like, I did not think at all that I would have an impact on anyone like this. I just do this for fun and just hope that a few people would listen. But it's become this thing where I have this outreach. Like when I got to chat with Daniel Barnes a little bit ago, he reached out to me because I was thinking for the longest time, I'm like, okay, there's like questions I want to ask Danny about a bunch of different comic stuff. And like, I know he follows me on Blue Sky, but like, I don't know if we're cool like that. Like, I don't know if I could approach it for anything. And then he sends me this whole paragraph DM thing about being like, oh yeah, I watch your stuff all the time. You do great work. I've been wondering if you would help me like promote Endless Fantasia and all this stuff. Like, I'll answer all your questions. Meanwhile, I'm trying to not like break down in the middle of my work shift when I'm reading this. I'm like, Daniel Barnes knows who I am and he thinks I'm cool, dog. Like, this is, I can't do this. So yeah, you never know what you're, if you follow your passion, where it's going to lead. But, I'm very glad it's led me here because this community has been great.
It's also really funny watching all of us with imposter syndrome build each other up.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
When you feel burned out or stressed, what is your favorite thing to do to get yourself out of a rut?
That's my secret cap. I'm always stressed.
Yeah, that's knowing it, what I know about Ian is, yeah, that's pretty much true.
No, quite literally, there have been days on occasion where everything is lined up. I'm not worried about anything. I have no immediate expectations. I have no overt stressors. And I have a physical reaction. I'm a tension bridge. I need that stress to hold together. And this goes all the way back to, like, I remember, like, grade school stuff, having to buckle down and focus on a test instead of drawing all over it. And it's like, I'm down to the last 5 minutes. I have to finish this test. Panic, 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 production. I am always tightly wound and probably not the healthiest way to be, but yeah, I manage. The burnout though, I don't mean to bring everything back to Drogoon, but that's one of the reasons I started it up, was I was starting to feel the burnout of all the franchise work, you know, meeting all the licensor expectations and making it fit to the deadline and make it fit to my own personal artistic vision. And with the knowledge of what the feedback would be online, it's a lot. So being able to be creative in a capacity where I don't have any of that oversight to say, this is what it is and I'm happy with it, is incredibly relieving. And something that I'm struggling to get ahead of now that Drogoon is becoming a thing is to not let it become the job. Because once it becomes the job, it loses that magic. And I know it's going to happen to some degree eventually. That's just the price of success. But I try to make sure that when I'm working on it, it's because I want to do it for funsies. And if I hit the wall where it's like, okay, I really just need to make progress on this. Why? For production reasons, for budget reasons, for deadline reasons. Then I go do something else. Like, end of this week, actually, I was in that position. I just finished a couple of assignments. There were a few more looming because everybody wants everything on January 5th. I don't know why that's the date everybody chose, but that's the date. And it's like, okay, I know I'm going to be working over the holidays and I don't really feel that spark for Dragoon right now. You know what? There was that other little side project that I hadn't figured out. Let me just put some notes down on that. Let me just write that down. Not actually figure it out. Not come up with the production plan, not figure out all the nuance, just put the ideas down on paper and put it out there on my personal Patreon. And that felt really good.
to just make a thing, even if it wasn't finished, and put it out there and say, I made this. And it's done. It's fine. It's good. And now it's in the back of my mind going, well, if you tinker with it a little more, it's like, no. We have things to do. But just that moment of creation and seeing a couple folks go, oh, hey, that was neat. That was nice. And that helps. That is good.
Okay. The 5th, January 5th is the first Monday after the new year.
Yeah.
So I'm figuring that, you know, people will come back and they're like, we just came back. Don't worry about it. And that's what's going to end up happening.
Most likely. So, but if they don't, it's on me. I already said, oh, yeah, sure, I can do this. But, January 5th, that's a while back. Let me look at my, oh, that's due.
Yeah, that's all due.
Oh, that one too. Oh, that they said that way back when. Well, good news is I've already knocked out two of those. So
good.
Yeah. How about you, Kyle?
What's up? Repeat the question. I'm sorry.
No. You're good. You're good. Well, no, it's funny because it's like I felt bad, especially after I did the third one of these when we were talking about Shadow Generations, and it was repeated comments in the Bubblecast of just being like, it's been like an hour plus and he never asked anything to Kyle. And I'm like, oh my God.
No, that's
like,
okay.
I am the worst guest
on
the face of the planet.
Nope. That's perfectly fine. That's why I'm here. Like, huh? I'm here. Like, I'm just over here chilling. I just like, what was the question?
When you feel burned out or stressed, what do you do to get yourself out of a rut?
Wait. Yeah, like just power through it pretty much. Like I don't know. Like I can't really. Like I'm just like, what do I do? I guess just kind of push through it and wait and just be like, yeah, I know I need to do this, so it's time to do it. It's time to buckle down and just do it. That's really about the best I can do. Like, otherwise it's just
kind of push through it, and then you're like, oh, I don't feel this anymore, I'm good.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, yeah, I need to get this done by this date at this time, and it's just like, well, I guess I just better do it, or, you know, it's not gonna get done because no one else is gonna do it. So, like, you know, like if I had to edit the podcast, it's like, well, I got these days free. I better use that day to do what I need to do and do it. Otherwise, we're not going to have anything to put up. So, yeah, that's pretty much it, really. Like, I'm not, I just kind of try and push through it as best as I can and just hope for the best for myself, really. That's all I can do.
Kyle's over here going, I just have an iron will and unshakable discipline. That's all.
No, not that. No.
I'm super casual.
And the opposite is really the case, but it's like, well, I gotta do it. Like, it's just like, it's gotta be done and I gotta be the one to do it. So I'll do it, I guess. That's really it. I mean, that's how I got through a lot of things going on in my life over this past summer that were happening. It's like, well, if no one's going to do it, no one else can do it. It's got to be me. So I'll do it. That's really it.
And he's so humble about it, too. Isn't it crazy?
I'm just here. I don't know what's going on.
Love hearing that from the co-host who is like running all of the engines of the show.
I'm only central to everything, to everyone, everywhere. I mean,
you
just gotta do what you gotta do, you know.
Not everyone, thankfully. That would be bad. that would be bad. Like, you know, I don't know. If you're counting on me, I can't let you down. I don't want to let you down.
Yeah.
See, you are acknowledged and you are appreciated, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to help.
What video game do you wish you could purge from your memory so you could experience it fresh all over again?
Skies of Arcadia. That's the easy one.
God. Ooh.
Maybe Tales of the Abyss. Do that one again. That'd be neat.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to Valve, like Half-Life 2
Hell
would be
yeah.
a good one. Or, yeah, sticking with Valve, the first Portal would also be fun.
Hades for me, for sure. Definitely Hades.
I was about to say, do Hades 1 and 2 back-to-back.
Trying to think of any others. Like, I'm sure there's a few more I could come up with. Just trying to think of all the games.
Kind of an oddball one.
A lot.
Yeah, no, like you just kind of go through all of them that you played. Oddball one, but just because it was good in my personal friend group, Ultimate Chicken Horse. That's a very fun one.
Don't know that one.
Not familiar with that.
It's a platformer where each level your characters are given like one item to like build a piece of the level that can go to the goal line. So like you can choose if you just want like a platform, if you want some type of trap, and then if your trap kills the other players, then you get like point bonuses for it. And it's been a great one to play in my friend group because it just turns into anarchy where it's not even like, okay, we're not even trying to make a legitimate piece of platforming that can get people to the end. We are just like, who can kill each other in the most efficient ways? Points be damned. We're doing this for suffering. We're not doing this for fun.
Oh, you know, it'd be fun to play again. Saints Row 2.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, love yeah. Saints Row.
It's just a fresh, going in fresh on that one would be fun. That's such a
first
good
two,
game.
The first two Batman Arkham games.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Totally agree.
Yep, that would be fun.
God, I miss Arkham. Now I'm depressed.
Oh, man.
And I'd say Halo ODST.
Ooh, good shout. That's a good shout.
That had a mood, you know?
mm-hmm. They were good at that. Like, from 3 to ODST to Reach, like, all of them were excellent, but all for completely different reasons.
3, I'll debate you on, but Reach definitely had its high points. But I feel like ODST itself stood apart from the others and felt very special. And God, just going around the city in the rain. How does a Halo title have ASMR? You know, it's weird. You don't think moody blues and jazz when you're thinking, I need a weapon.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd love to play Shovel Knight again for the first time.
Good one. Good one.
Yeah, that's definitely one of them that's up there for me. I love that game.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people would mention Hollow Knight as well, which is one like they'd want to purge and start fresh with.
Yeah, Doom 2016.
Yes,
and no.
Yes, yes. Forget the suffering so that you can re-experience it again.
I'd say Doom 2016 would be one I would like to play again.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Fresh.
Man, Doom Eternal and Hades coming out in 2020. Oh, both of those are so good. Let's see, good one. Oh, yeah, Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom, for sure. Well, I guess since we're on that topic, out of what's been announced, do you have a most anticipated game for next year?
It's going to be years before I get to play any of them, so I don't
know. Fair enough.
Struggling to remember what was announced, so I'm inclined to say no.
What's out there? Oh, that game's already out. Never mind. See, like, there's games that are out. I don't even know they're out yet. I'm like, is that game even out? It's like, yeah, that game's been out for a few months at least.
Yeah, you're thinking, man, I'm excited for that. Wait, I played that.
No. It wasn't that bad. See, what's even coming out next year?
Since you mentioned Arkham, genuinely, I'm really excited for the new Lego Batman game, Legacy of the Dark Knight, just because so much of that game is like the successor to Arkham that I think we've always been looking for. But it's also in the fun fabric of Lego, and it's also getting to, like, it's going to adapt like little bits of the Dark Knight trilogy and like the new Batman movies and all of the suits from the decades and stuff. And I don't know, everything that I've seen out of that, I'm like, wow, I did not think that Lego was just going to swoop out of nowhere and be like, yes, the Arkham 4 that you always wanted, this is it.
Leave it to Lego to just distill something into fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, keep on the nostalgia, very simple but rewarding gameplay, and just go nuts with it.
Is that still Traveler's Tales doing those? Those guys are crazy.
And they're getting better, too. Like, that's the thing that surprises me with them, is that it's like, they've been doing Lego for such a long time that you think they'd burn out or maybe want to pivot. They're just like, nope, we know what we do. We know we do it well, and we're gonna keep doing it until the end of days.
Okay, there is one game that's in early access right now. That's called Aero GPX. It's in the style of like F-Zero X. It's an indie game.
Oh,
cool. It's like an F-Zero X style indie game that's really shaping up nicely, and I'm looking forward to that one. So, being a fan of F-Zero X and games of that ilk, it's very exciting to me. It's a great soundtrack, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah, the indies have been coming in clutch over the past few years of like, oh yeah, this one franchise or specific game that you've always wanted a sequel to, we're just at the point where people are just like, you know what, screw it, I'll get three friends and we'll do it.
Yeah, pretty much. We'll
take that project.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, oh, okay. Well, clearly the big dogs aren't going to do this, so fine, I'll do it myself.
mm-hmm. Can't tip passion more than that.
Nope.
And then my last question, which was from the Bumblecast Mini from a more civilized age, for both of you, what are your three favorite foods? Because Flynn had a specific answer last time that magnified every bit of respect that I have for you.
What did I say?
You, I believe your three answers at the time were, it was like cheeseburger. I can't remember what the second one was, but then you said bulgogi, and I am like, this is my guy. Like, he understands what quality concoctions are.
I don't even remember.
He just gets it.
I don't even remember what my answers were.
Dude, there was a East Asian fair that ran for like a weekend back in the summer. And one of the stalls had the bulgogi dog.
Oh,
basically, yes. They gave you a big old long sandwich bun. It wasn't a hot dog roll, but it was effectively the same thing. And they just piled the bulgogi in it.
Oh,
yeah, dude. That
sounds delicious.
And because, you know, it's an outdoor thing, they had the hot plate right there. They made it in front of you. You could say how much onion or how much sauce you want in there. And it's not going to stay in your hand. It's not going to stay in the bun. It's a big damn mess. And, you know, you're perfectly fine licking your hand like an animal. Because,
Yeah.
Oh, man. For any drop to be spilled, it is a sacrilege to the greatness that has been placed in my hands.
There's also an incredibly dangerous stall right at the entrance every year, or at least the last 2 years we went, where it's these meat skewers, and you know, they got your standard chicken, your beef, your lamb, and then they have the squid, and it's like just a full squid on a spit that they fry up in front of you.
Wow. Okay.
And you get like 3 for $10, $12, maybe $15 something.
Ooh.
And there's the station right next to it where you upend the seasoning thing as much as you want on those skewers.
Oh, hell yeah.
Walk three down, get your freshly ground up sugar cane juice if you want. It's it's a good time, I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I love places like that. I remember when 2015, I did a week-long trip to New York with my family, and there was this place in Brooklyn called the Smorgasburg that was like that, that just had a bunch of shops and things like that. There was one stand that had the ramen burger. And I still dream about how good that was. That thing had a chokehold on me. It was so good.
I'm trying to imagine that. Like, how does that work? Just a burger so with they, like, ramen take, piled on it?
Yeah, so it's like the way that they make the ramen, like high-quality ramen, and then they, like, form them into, like, kind of like into patties, but they basically become like the bread of the burger, and then they put in like the burger meat and like lettuce and a ton of like tasty sauces. That it's like, it's a mess. Like, it falls apart in your hands immediately. Yeah, okay, Straub's found it.
What the heck is that? Yeah,
that's it right there.
That looks wild. What the heck?
It is a
sounds good though.
No, it is incredible. It is a also wolfed it down because I'm like, you, if you think I'm letting a single member of my family take a bite of this, you are mistaken.
Man, I freaking love Mexican food. Like, I could eat that for mm-hmm. every meal, every day.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I just love a good chimichanga or like a pollo fundido. Delicious. I'm super.
No, go ahead.
That's really it. I mean,
there's a Chinese place near us that it's just an appetizer. It's not even an entree. It's these pan-fried dumplings that have just a bit of soup in there in addition to the meat. So every bite, I mean, some people might take two bites. I am not weak like them. Everyone is this delicious explosion of fried dough and tasty meat and delicious soup. And they're a problem because they're only like $10 and you get 10 of them.
Oh, yeah, I'd have like 30. That would be a
problem. I know, right? It should be a meal by itself. It's like, no, this is just an appetizer. It's like, you underestimate me. That's one of the things about living here in Toronto is, you know, whenever somebody visits, we get to play foodie tour guide as best we can.
Yeah, that was fun.
It's spoiled for choice. It's like, what do you feel like? We can find it. There's a there's a pizza place. It's a little far down the road. It's a little expensive. It hurts me after two slices, but sometimes I like the pain, where they do this square deep dish pizza that's super crispy on the edges and a little cheesy for me, but you know, whatever. And they will load delicious meats on it. And
yeah,
each one is like eating a cake slice, more or less, in terms of density. But I swear by
it. To me now.
Or, you know, the one Chinese place down on King Street that has like the boar's head and the full ducks hanging in the window that they don't do credit card. They're cash only still.
It's the good stuff. That's where you know the good stuff is.
You do not order for yourself. You order for the group because you will not finish anything by yourself. I promise you. I had some folks come into town for business and they're like, where's a good place to eat? And I'm like, oh, we're going here. And I'm like, okay, let's all decide together on what we want because you're going back to your hotel and I can't take all this back with me. And they're going, you sure? I'm like, trust me. And just the plate of bok choy alone, between the four of us, there was still some left over.
Mm.
Like they're walking away going, oh, you warned us. And I'm like, I did.
Yeah.
Sure. You don't want to take some of this home with you? So I'll try to find room in my fridge.
Yeah. I freaking love noodles, Asian noodles and stuff. Those are delicious. Ramen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yakisoba.
Did we take you to King's Noodles when you were in town last?
I don't remember. We went to some big Chinese buffet. Is that?
Yeah, no. That wasn't it.
No, I don't think.
Of course.
I don't think we did.
We were very busy when you were here last, so.
Yeah, I know. We did a lot of stuff.
All right, well, next time you're up here, we know what to do.
Yep. We'll
rent a room at King's Noodles. Come down, eat, go back, sleep it off like a bear in hibernation, come back.
Yeah, pretty much. Nah,
that's how you know. You gotta make sure you have the backup of the instantaneous food coma. Oh, I love doing these. Thank you, boys.
Thank you.
Oh, pleasure.
It's always fun talking to you.
I don't have anything else to say. I already plugged my stuff, so I'm good.
Well, just it's been a bit. Remind the folks at home before we sign off. Where can they find you and what good stuff do you make?
You can find my work at youtube.com/kaizenamen. If you love Sonic and most of the pop culture stuff that's discussed on this channel too, you'll enjoy what I do there. And then you can also find me on Blue Sky at the same name.
Awesome. Thank you for coming on, Kai. It's always a pleasure.
Always. I like that this is annual. This is like tradition. I always just get to just talk shop with y'all.
Good way to wrap up the year.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
If you want to be as cool as Kai and come on the show as well, head over to patreon.com/bumblecast, ko-fi.com/bumblecast, or become a YouTube member at the appropriate level, and we'll talk to you too. It's what we do. We like doing that thing.
Yes.
Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other. And we will see you next time on the Bumblecast.
Take care, everybody.
Later.
Kai is back.
Yes.
For his fourth annual bit of nonsense.
Nonsense. Is that what we're calling what I do?
Oh, there's nothing serious about this show. You know that by now.
Nonsense is just what the Bumblecast is. Maybe you are not nonsense, but the Bumblecast certainly is.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't know. I've liked the new era.
Not good. That's where we are now.
It's fun. it's a lot more fun. Yes.
You've been listening to the Bumblecast, a co-production of Bumble King Comics and the KNGI Network. Original theme music composed by Ken Coda Snyder. Remixed intro by T-Lopes. Find out more information, along with podcast feeder links, MP3 downloads, and more at bumbleking.com and kngi.org.
All right. Hello?
Let's see. Is this ass piece of shit? No, it's working.
Talk about needing a sense of goodness gracious.
I hear you. I hear you. Literally, on both counts, I hear you and I hear you. Anyway.